Hello, everyone. We are live. Today is June 24th, 2025. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. Up, I see our neighbor in Connecticut has jumped on. Blessings. Happy to have you here. I see Maryland, Tennessee, Washington State, Ireland. Hello to our international audience coming in. We'd love to see you as well. Colorado, Delaware, Montana, Maryland, Florida, let's see, Indiana, Rockland County. I know where that is in New York. Brooklyn, the boroughs are coming in now as well. Missouri, North Carolina, Kentucky, Virginia. There's so many of you pouring in. Alabama, Arizona. Hello, hello to all of you who are coming in. Washington, D.C. Hello to our friends in Washington, D.C. watching us as well. We are so happy to have you. We are happy to have our team with us tonight. We have our moderators. Welcome to them and our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. We got a lot to get into tonight. This peace plan is hanging on like a piece of dental floss at this point, and we will get into that. We're going to open up in prayer first. We have a huge announcement too, a very exciting. Our team has been very excited for us to announce this. So I'm going to open up in prayer first. So if you could share this broadcast, we would very much appreciate it right now. And then we have a lot to talk about what is unfolding with America, Israel, Iran, and the road ahead. What is coming? We have a lot to prophetically talk about with this. And what has transpired since Saturday, since these strikes that the United States military did on three of Iran's nuclear sites, where they had to deploy stealth bombers, basically, with bunker-busting bombs and drop multiple of those on these sites in order to severely damage them. So we're going to talk about that as well. So let's open up in prayer. Up, just saw Melbourne, Australia come in. Hello to our friends across the world in Australia. Happy to have you with us as well. And so people are writing that Iran sent drones to attack Israel now. Maybe we could try to verify that, but I see people putting that in the chat. We'll try to verify it for you. But let's open up in prayer first and give this over to the Lord. Then we're going to get into everything that we're going to talk about with this tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. Father, we praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your holy, precious name. Lord, we just humble ourselves before you this day, ask you to forgive us of our sins, Father. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father God. Lord, wash us, cleanse us. Lord, help us to do, Father God, better for you in our walk with you, Father God. Lord, we praise you that our mercy, your mercies are new every single day, Father. Lord, we come before your courts with praise and thanksgiving, saying your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. Lord, we just praise you because you are holy, you are righteous, you are the righteous judge, Father God. You sit on the highest throne, Lord. And Father, we just praise you and acknowledge you sent your son Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. When Jesus Christ himself said, "It is finished," he literally descended into the underworld. He took the keys from death itself, defeated hell, death, and the grave. He was miraculously resurrected by the power of Almighty God. He is ruling and reigning at your right hand, Lord, forevermore. He is the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our advocate without ceasing. And we honor that, Lord, before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, into this place. Father, your presence is welcome. Let the weight of your glory, your power, your presence mightily begin to move. Father, let your truth mightily go forth tonight. Let the Holy Spirit go forth in the name of Jesus Christ and be the counselor, Lord, and minister to those who are watching tonight, Father. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you fill me and our team with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Order our steps, order my words tonight, Father, as we go forth. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Father, allow me and our team the humble privilege of being vessels of your power, Lord. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions, Father, to surround the skies and the land above and below, to guard against every dimensional access point. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every attack, assignment, weapon that the enemy might deploy in any way, shape, or form. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ right now. We command in the name of Jesus Christ it be dismantled, destroyed, disabled, rendered powerless, their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans, nullified, voided, and cast back to the areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return, nor have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. We are the dust of the earth without your breath of life in us. We owe you every breath, Father God. Yahweh is the breath. Every time we breathe, Father, we owe it to you, Lord, and we praise you for it. We give you all the glory. Your word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, welcome to those of you who are jumping on during prayer. I felt that. So praise the Lord. We're getting off to a wonderful start here tonight. And so we have a huge announcement. So if you could share this as well, we'd very much appreciate it. And like and subscribe. We always appreciate that from our viewers. I'm going to announce it at the beginning and at the end. So by the favor of God, we were invited to come on the pray.com platform. You have to be invited on pray.com. It is one of the largest Christian apps in the world, if not the largest. I believe it is the largest Christian app in the world. And the CEO actually came to our house to hear our story and talk to us because he wanted to meet the animals too and see what we do at the sanctuary, and invited us on the platform. So we officially went live today. All glory be to God on pray.com. You can download the app in your app store. We are also on Pray TV 2 days a week. So Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 11 a.m. we will be playing on Pray TV. So praise the Lord. Very, very exciting. I give all glory to God. Our team works so hard to get this done and to work with the pray.com team in order to onboard. And so it's just a huge door that God has opened for us into another arena of people around the world and reaching the world for Jesus Christ. So we give God all the glory. So if you want, go download pray.com. Ark of Grace Ministries is on there right now. And like I said, they play us on as well. You could go watch anytime on our site on pray.com, but we are played actively Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 11 a.m. going forward. So I just wanted to announce that as well. We will talk about it at the end as well, but I just wanted to tell all of you because we've been holding this in for weeks, by the way. All of us have been holding this in for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now we finally get to talk about it. And we have another announcement coming in the coming weeks as well. So we're waiting for that to be solidified, but we have another announcement as well that is coming. So stay tuned for that. All right. Now, let's get into what the hey is going on. Okay. I want to play for you a news clip first. And then we're going to talk because, like I said, this ceasefire right now is as fragile as a piece of dental floss, what is happening and unfolding. So let's play the video clip and then we're going to talk prophetically.
Tyker, he's a former fighter pilot and Pentagon official. General, good to see you. Thanks for coming on. Do you think this ceasefire holds, and do both sides have an incentive for it to hold?
Bill, clearly there was righteous anger by the president walking out to Marine Corps One as he left about any possible violations of the ceasefire. I think he sees, like we all should see, that in the last 2 weeks, Israel has set back Iran in multiple ways, and it is in their best interest and American best interest to allow this ceasefire to hold. And especially when you consider the Iranian incentives here, that with Israel having air superiority or the ability to strike any target at any time, that they do not have any reason for this war to continue. And so all incentives would suggest that Iran will not violate this ceasefire. Israel, with a strong admonition from the president, must not as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, is it really seems like Iran would want to be looking for an off-ramp here. Case in point, when they attacked our base in Qatar yesterday, they apparently gave the U.S. a heads up beforehand. What does it say to you when your enemy tells you, hey, we're going to attack you and here's where it's going to happen?
Bill, yesterday at Al Udeid was clearly an off-ramp for the Iranians, that they did give us that intelligence heads up ahead of time, that planes and assets had already been dispersed and were heavily defended. And frankly, they attacked the most defended location in the middle of the Arabian Gulf, which tells me they were doing something to save face and very quickly accepted that off-ramp to the ceasefire last night.
Yeah, they probably knew all those missiles were going to be intercepted or shot down. So we saw President Trump angry and frustrated this morning. After he made those comments, after he dropped the F-bomb, he apparently had a call with Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel. And Netanyahu's office released a statement after that phone call. If we can read part of that, it says, quote, following President Trump's conversation with Prime Minister Netanyahu, Israel refrained from further attacks. In the conversation, President Trump expressed his immense appreciation for Israel, which achieved.
Okay, thank you very much. So a lot in there that we're going to talk about. I find it interesting that they said righteous anger. So I find that interesting because there is something called righteous indignation. Now, I will say this with all due respect, Mr. President, because I do this with David Nino Rodriguez too. You owe me 10 bucks now because you swore. We're starting a swear jar for these occasions to be passed around. I understand why, though, he is as upset as he is. I absolutely understand why. But you know what I found odd? I found it odd that more conservative commentators were more excited that Trump swore on national TV than they were when Trump said, "We love you, God," at the end of his address after the U.S. struck the nuclear sites. I find it interesting that more of them were excited about the F-bomb being dropped than about the fact that the president humbly acknowledged God and said how much he loved him, you know, at the end of that address. So very interesting that the conservative, you know, commentators have turned this way. Does Nino pay me? Well, no, because Nino has not violated yet with me on. So he doesn't owe me anything yet. He's being very careful because he doesn't want to owe me anything. But I'm just saying I found that interesting when it came to that. But I understand why he was so frustrated. And the man has the weight of the world on his shoulders. Let's just be honest. I mean, when you're in the middle of war, things come out of your mouth, may just fly out of your mouth that wouldn't normally fly out of your mouth when you're in the thick and you're in the crosshairs of what was going on. So let's put up, we're going to put up some articles here and we're going to talk about it. We have the New York Times, I think, first. The New York Times article. Okay, live updates. Trump lashes out, and this is the ceasefire too, at Israel and Iran as fragile truce is tested. This is a live update from them right now. Ceasefire takes hold after Trump rebukes Israel and Iran. It says that Mr. Trump suggested that both Israel and Iran had continued fighting despite a ceasefire that both had agreed to hours earlier. He warned Israel that further attacks would be a, quote, major violation. President Trump lashed out at Israel and Iran on Tuesday over concerns that both sides had violated an hours-old ceasefire, intensifying the uncertainty over the fragile deal that he had helped broker to end the deadly conflict. And then they write, in an expletive-laced remark to reporters. Mr. Trump accused both sides of launching attacks, pledging to, quote, see if I can stop it. In a Truth Social post, the president warned Israel not to, quote, drop those bombs and demanded the country, quote, bring your pilots home now. So very strong words from the president. Trying to break up this skirmish and keep this ceasefire together right now. We have another one from the Jerusalem Post. I believe it's the Jerusalem Post. And we'll talk about it once we put it up here. Okay, crushing victory or jarring and bitter mistake. Israel weighs in on the ceasefire with Iran. The U.S. brokered ceasefire was violated by an Iranian missile fire towards northern Israel just hours after the truce took effect. Several officials reacted to the U.S. brokered ceasefire between Israel and Iran on Tuesday morning, which was later in question as Iran fired missiles towards Israeli territory and Israel threatened retaliation. Opposition leader Yair Lapid pushed for the Israeli government to expand its ceasefire with Iran to a truce in Gaza in a Tuesday statement. And now Gaza, quote, this is the moment to finish things there as well, to bring back the hostages and end the war. Israel needs to start rebuilding. So that was a direct quote from the opposition leader in Israel. There's another one from the New York Times, another article. It talks about Iran mounted a deadly attack on Israel hours before the fragile ceasefire took effect. And it says at least four people were killed in southern Israel when a ballistic missile fired from Iran hit an apartment block in the hours before the two countries confirmed that they had agreed upon a ceasefire on Tuesday, according to the Israeli authorities. The fatal attack was in Beersheba, a city of about 600,000 in southern Israel. It said soon after that attack, Mr. Trump said that a phased ceasefire had been agreed, but the official start time of the truce was not clear. So these are just some of the articles that are coming out today after this. And to give a quick synopsis, on Saturday, a very brilliant operation was launched by our military. They actually created a ruse and they sent stealth bombers to Guam to throw everybody off. So they had two sets of stealth bombers, apparently. One was dispatched to Guam to throw everybody off. The others left from Missouri with the bunker busters, and they flew 30 hours straight into Iran, dropped the bunker busting bombs on the three nuclear sites. One of them was Fordo, and got the hey out of there. And it wasn't announced until after they were out of Iranian airspace and the mission had been completed. We did go live on Emergency Saturday night. You can go and watch that. It's on all our platforms. But President Trump addressed the nation at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time after all of this, that it was a successful mission, that in at the end he said, God, and we want to thank God. We love you, God, he said at the end of that address. He said that our military pulled this off like nobody ever could. And I will say the way they did it was brilliant. They did that first before brokering a ceasefire. So if you notice, the U.S. deployed this operation known as Operation Midnight Hammer, and we're going to get into that, deployed this operation first to destroy the nuclear sites or severely damage them and then broker a ceasefire deal. Now, the ceasefire took effect on June 24th, 2025. I'm going to play for you a clip from last week's broadcast, America on High Alert, because I had talked about this date of the 24th having to do with Daniel chapter 10. So we're going to play that clip for you now, and then we're going to talk. So this is a Daniel 10 moment, right? And the two numbers to remember in this entire conflict are on the 24th day, which we are 5 days away from June 24th, on the 24th day, and 21 days Persia withstood, which is 3 weeks. So remember those two numbers in this conflict. Okay, so 24 kept popping out to me. last week when I was talking about this. And from Daniel chapter 10, verses 4 through 14, it says, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was on the bank of the great river Hiddekel, which is the Tigris, I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen whose loins were girded with belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flame torches. His arms and his feet like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words was like the noise of a multitude. Verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great panic overwhelmed them, so they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my normal appearance turned to a deathly pale, and I grew weak and faint. Then I heard the sound of his words, and when I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face toward the ground. Verse 10, then behold, a hand touched me and set me unsteadily on my hands and knees. So he said to me, O Daniel, you highly regarded and great beloved man, understand the words that I am about to say to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And while he was saying this, word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in opposition to me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, the archangel, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. The kings of Persia were the principalities that were over that region. So when Gabriel was dispatched, the principalities and powers that were over that region withstood Gabriel from getting through and caused a blockade in the spirit that then Michael, the warring angel, the archangel, had to literally come and move the blockade. He literally had to come and scatter the chief princes. Don't mind me, my eye is tearing a little bit. So this is kind of what we saw happen. We saw a Daniel 10 type scenario happening where the prince of Persia withstood. And then on the 24th day, right, this is when we saw breakthrough, because this is when this came for Daniel. Gabriel finally got through on the 24th day. There was breakthrough, and the princes of Persia were scattered. And it's on the 24th day of this month that the peace, or the ceasefire, whatever you want to call it, was brokered. Does that mean this is the end of it? No, it does not. Because like I said, this is hanging on like a piece of dental floss right now. And we're going to have to watch carefully what unfolds with this. I do not think the Ayatollah is coming out of this back into rule. I do not. I believe this is the beginning of the end for the rule of the Ayatollah in Iran. We will get into that as well, because I believe that the appointed time has come for his removal. That's what I truly believe. This is the 47th year since the Islamic Revolution happened in 1978, where the Shah was overthrown, who was a big believer in democracy, for the regime of the Ayatollah. This year, when this conflict erupted, is 47 years later, when President Trump is the 47th president in place at this time. So you're seeing a Purim-like reversal. You are seeing the reverse happen of what the Ayatollah did back in 1978. Now, they're calling this the 12-day war, which this gets pretty interesting for a few reasons. So 12, biblically speaking, has to do with government and rule. There were 12 tribes in Israel. Jesus Christ himself had 12 disciples. So 12, biblically speaking, happens to be a very important number. However, the Six-Day War of 1967 came to a crescendo in the month of June. So this is why this is prophetically interesting, that now a 12-day war also hits the crescendo in the month of June. Now, with the Six-Day War, In response to the apparent mobilization of its Arab neighbors, early on the morning of June 5th, Israel staged a sudden preemptive air assault, the same thing that they did now, that destroyed more than 90% of Egypt's air force on the tarmac. A similar air assault incapacitated the Syrian air force. Without cover from the air, the Egyptian army was left vulnerable to attack. Within 3 days, the Israelis had achieved an overwhelming victory on the ground, capturing the Gaza Strip and all of the Sinai Peninsula up to the east bank of the Suez Canal. An eastern front was also opened on June 5th when Jordanian forces began shelling West Jerusalem, disregarding Israel's warning to King Hussein to keep Jordan out of the fight, only to face a crushing Israeli counterattack. On June 7th, the Israeli forces drove Jordanian forces out of East Jerusalem and most of the West Bank. So they have photos and films of this as well. But it does say that the UN Security Council called for a ceasefire on June 7th, 1967. That was immediately accepted by Israel and Jordan. Egypt accepted the following day on June 8th. Syria held out, however, and continued to shell villages in northern Israel. On June 9th, Israel launched an assault on the fortified Golan Heights, capturing it from Syrian forces. After a day of heavy fighting, Syria accepted the ceasefire on June 10th. So literally within 2 days to the day of Israel launching this air assault now on Iran, basically you saw similar events unfold in 1967 in the Six-Day War, and now you're dealing with the 12-Day War in the same month of June that the Six-Day War unfolded in. Now, it was June 12th that Israel began their airstrikes. June 12th, 2025, Israel officially began the airstrikes against Iran. Same month, 7 days apart from the June 5th airstrike, 1967, which is interesting. Also, the ceasefire for the Six-Day War was accepted in June as well. So you've got prophetic parallels running here with the Six-Day War and the 12-Day War. Now, this very fragile ceasefire goes into effect now, June 24th, 2025, being accepted by Israel and Iran in this month. 58 years separates the Six-Day War from the 12-Day War. 58 years. Guess what 1 Peter 5:8 says? 58. 58 years separates the Six-Day War from the 12-Day War. 1 Peter 5:8-58 says, be sober-minded, be alert and cautious at all times. The enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour, like a lion. This scripture in 1 Peter 5:8 is for America and Israel right now in the midst of the ceasefire. This scripture prophetically is right on target for now, because the enemy's lions have gone out when they now believe their prey is potentially taking a more relaxed position, okay? Because this is how lions hunt. Now, in 1967, this is where it's going to get prophetically very interesting. In 1967, the Six-Day War operation was launched. It was called Operation Focus. Okay, that was the opening airstrike. It was called Operation Focus. 58 years later, when this airstrike is launched, it's called Operation Rising Lion. Focus on the Rising Lion. Okay, that's what those two operations put together means. Focus on the Rising Lion. And then on top of it, you have 1 Peter 5:8, because 58 years separates these two wars. Be sober-minded and vigilant, for the enemy of yours roams around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Focus on the Rising Lion. So you have that, having to do with the two operations, with the Six-Day War and the 12-Day War. You also have in the middle of this Operation Midnight Hammer, which was the response operation of the United States of America deploying the stealth bombers to take out these nuclear sites. Midnight is the 12 o'clock mark. They're calling this the 12-day war. And to end the 12-day war, a midnight hammer at the 12 o'clock position, that operation is deployed in the midst of it. That's not an accident either. Now, I want to take you to February 19th, 2024, and I want to read to you this word from the Lord, this excerpt. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, June on your calendar may be riddled with pride. However, around that time is marked for many falls and removals, says the Lord, and a very public resignation shall bring forth a dark horse, says the Lord. Watch, says the Lord, for the bait and switch to run ahead, and no matter who is brought forth, no matter who they attempt to place in that seat, it is mine to give, says the Lord. The kingdom of darkness may anoint, however, it does not hold up to my rulings and judgments, for I, the Lord, raise kings up, and I bring them low. And I, the Lord, can do such in a single day, for I, the Lord, am not bound by time or space. And as they attempt to shuffle such a deck of fools and global thinkers, I, the Lord, shall throw a wrench and a hammer into their plans. That was from February 19th, 2024. The Lord highlighted June being riddled with pride, being marked for many falls and removals. He said, as they attempt to shuffle such a deck of fools and global thinkers, I, the Lord, shall throw a wrench and a hammer into their plans. And this was called Operation Midnight Hammer. So very interesting, very prophetic. Okay, we're going to put up this other article because this is going to get even more interesting. Remember, focus on the rising lion, right? Those were the names of the two operations together, from the 6-day war that Israel launched and now the 12-day war. Okay, Operation Focus, Operation Rising Lion, focus on the rising lion. Let's put up this article, and we're going to talk about this because I want to show you what's in the background here. Okay, let me see if it comes up, because I want you to see Reza. Okay, I want you to see, this is Reza right here, who's coming up. Now, they had a picture on this site of him where he was standing at a podium, and there were two flags that had lions in back of them when he was doing a press conference. Maybe we can look for that picture if they have it up online. There it is. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. So this man is the Shah's son. The Shah was overthrown in 1978. The Shah was in favor of democracy. He's got two flags in back of them that each have a lion on them. Focus on the rising lion. Okay. Now, Ayatollah is planning to flee Iran, exile prince claims as he warns of more bloodshed if regime is allowed to survive. And basically, he's warning that the Ayatollah is planning to try to flee as the regime is collapsing. Reza Pahlavi also urged the West not to throw Iran's corrupt regime a lifeline or face more bloodshed. Now, Reza's middle name is Cyrus. His legal middle name is Cyrus. So you actually have a physical Cyrus rising in Persia in the midst of what has just happened with this 12-day war having to do with government and rule. Focus on the rising lion. This man has two flags in back of him that have a lion with a sword, and his middle name happens to be Cyrus. None of this is an accident that this is all happening the way it is, and all in the month of June, a month filled with pride. And lions, when they go out to hunt, they hunt in a pride. So this is why this is all unfolding the way it is. Now, June 16th, 2024, I did a broadcast. It was called The Prophetic Time of the Lion. And I quoted a scripture from Numbers 23, 24. Now, 23 plus 24 happens to equal 47. We'll get into that in a moment. But the scripture says, look, a people rises like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey. That's Numbers 23, verse 24. 23 plus 24 is 47. 47 is the number of years since the Shah was overthrown that the 12-day war has now occurred. It's been 47 years. President Trump is the 47th president of the United States. The operation is Operation Rising Lion. Numbers 23, 24, when added together, happens to be 47. So it actually did start in 1978. The overthrow started in 1978. It went 2 years into 1979, and that's when the full overthrow happened. So 1978 happened to be the percolation, the beginning of the Islamic Revolution. It was completed, I believe, within the first 2 months of 1979 or something of that nature. Now, Netanyahu chose this verse before they did what they did. Numbers 23, 24. There's a pattern of 47 here with what we are seeing happen. And I remember at the beginning of the year talking about how this was going to be a year of Purim and a year of divine reversals. And I believe we're seeing that happen. We are watching that unfold before our very eyes. Now, back to this for a moment. This verse, Numbers 23, 24, look, a people rises like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours its prey. Okay, pack of lions is called the pride. Almighty God is known as the Lion of Judah. The symbol of ancient Persia, now Iran, was the lion. Okay, and you have the lion prophetically surfacing in other ways too. This symbol of the lion, focus on the rising lion. The names of those two operations are a prophetic barometer for what we are seeing happen in this time. This symbol of the lion is something we're going to see more and more in this time, showing up in different ways, not only in the Middle East, but within the earth and within other nations. There is something that has been triggered with this now, and this is why you're seeing this over and over and over again. In fact, it even happened in Minnesota with those horrible murders of the Democratic Speaker of the House and her husband. The assassin who did it claimed he was the CEO of something called the Red Lions Group. So you have two types of rising lions. You have Almighty God, the Lion of Judah, and then you have the enemy and his pride roaming about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. So you see this beginning to show up more and more. And now the Shah's son, the exiled prince, is standing on a podium with two flags that have lions on them. That's why I keep saying, focus on the rising lion. Now, on top of this, you have Russia and China just waiting in the wings with this. Russia has actually offered asylum now to the Ayatollah. So that's first off. But in the midst of this very fragile peace plan or very fragile ceasefire that we see happening, we have surrounding this right now Ukraine and Russia, India and Pakistan, and now North Korea fired about 12, I think it was, missiles in the direction of South Korea. Because lions, when they sense weakness, is when they will try to take prey. And if President Trump right now is tied up trying to deal with the skirmish between Israel and Iran and Russia and Ukraine, and he seems to have gotten India and Pakistan and Rwanda and the other country brokered peace with there kind of wrapped up. Well, now you've got in the middle of it, North Korea rising up in the midst of this, in a month filled with pride. This is not over. We have 6 days left for June. 6 days, right? That I believe is going to lead into quite an explosive July. So watching on the world stage what is happening with this, I don't envy the position President Trump is in, because the man wants peace. He does. President Trump wants peace. And he took out those nuclear sites in order to try to totally paralyze Iran's capabilities in order to force peace. The problem is, it's very difficult to try to make peace with the devil. The issue is that when you've got people under the influence of the kingdom of darkness, there is no peace. That's why in the word of God, it says they cry peace, peace, and then destruction will come. In fact, I'm going to read to you that scripture. I'm going to find it, because I think it's pertinent. Okay, here we go. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Is this it? For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:3. And it's very difficult to negotiate and make peace with people that are under the influence of the kingdom of darkness and who believe they have to destroy an entire nation to bring back their 12th imam, the Mahdi, who really is going to be the Antichrist. You know, so it's, you know, bargaining with the devil, hi Sadie, does not work. And that's what's so difficult about this, because you want to broker a ceasefire. You want to broker peace, but does the devil ever keep his end of the bargain when you try to broker a deal with him? No, because he's the father of lies. He's a thief, and the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But Almighty God comes to bring life, and life more abundant. So this is the issue right now. The issue is that you have a very serious spiritual component in this that has to be dealt with from a perspective of spiritual warfare in order for something like this to happen. You can't just deal with it from an area of brokering a physical deal. There has to be warring in the realm of the spirit to go after something like this. Daniel prayed for 21 days, warring in prayer, until Gabriel broke through. This is what it takes with this as well. There is a very serious component to this spiritually that has to be dealt with in order for something like this to stand, because brokering it physically is wonderful, but you've got principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world that don't want peace, that don't want ceasefires, that don't want countries to get along, that don't want Isaac and Ishmael to come together over Abraham, that want to fight over territory, that want to shed innocent blood to power their altars of Persia and altars in the Middle East that they are stoking the flames of in order to try to keep a grip on that territory. And in the midst of this, you have lions rising, including Reza Cyrus Pahlavi, the son of the Shah. And this is why you have this, because demons want war. Demons want bloodshed. Principalities and powers want to battle for territory and use man to do it. And this is why you see this happening in this time, because they raise those altars of pride in the month of June. They raise those altars. They hoisted them up. They stoked the flames of it, and then all of this erupted because the kingdom of darkness was bringing an outcry in this hour, and they were going to try on a mass scale to shed innocent blood. The kingdom of darkness, their goal, had this not been disrupted, was to, on a mass scale, shed innocent blood. They have been keeping the Iranian people in chains for decades. The Iranian people as well are crying out for liberation. Now, the hard part about this is that when you have seen other dictators fall, the country has gone into chaos and disaster. We watched it happen in Egypt. We've watched it happen in other countries where dictators were overthrown and those countries were thrown into chaos. The other thing that is at play here, and I'm going to get the scripture up for you where Jesus Christ talks about this. So let me just get this up here. Okay. Because it pertains to this, how this is handled. Okay. In Luke chapter 11, that's where we're going to go, to Luke 11. I'm doing this on the fly right now with the Lord. Luke chapter 11, verse, let me see where I want to start here. I want to start near verse 25, but we're going to start before that. Okay. Verse 24, Luke 11. We're going to start at verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. The last state of the man is worse than the first. So when you cast something out of a house or a nation and it goes into a dry place and it can't find rest, and then it decides it's going to go back, and it now finds that things are being put into order, if it is not resisted, resist the enemy and it shall flee from you, it goes back and finds seven of its friends more unclean than itself. And it comes back itself now with seven other spirits more vile than itself now to do a hostile takeover. This is the picture of what is happening in Iran right now. This is the picture. So you've got a dictator that wants to be cast out. But if that dictator gets cast out, one more vile than he can come in. So it takes the natural and the spiritual and the appointed time of the judgment of God, not another country deciding it's time to overthrow that dictator for their own political purposes, but the appointed time of God to overthrow that dictator and allow the church within that nation as the ecclesia to rise up and begin to speak into the soil of that nation and begin to help now prop up on a spiritual foundation that nation now that has just been turned into chaos. This is what's going on now. Reza Cyrus Pahlavi, the Cyrus rising in Persia, focus on the rising lion, the one doing it, wants the Ayatollah overthrown. Now, is the Ayatollah wicked? Yes. Is he satanic? Yes. He has shed a lot of innocent blood. He has done horrific, horrendous things. He believes a doctrine that's from the devil. And there's an appointed time by God for this. And this is why it is so critical when a dictator is overthrown that the church and that spiritual component is involved in order to stop seven of his friends that are far worse than he from coming into that house and completely on a hostile takeover, taking it over. You see what I'm saying? So this is like a picture as a nation of what Jesus Christ himself in Luke 11 was talking about with people. And this is the crossroads that Iran is at right now. And Reza is calling for the Iranian people to rise up and for the Ayatollah to be completely overthrown. And he's claiming that high-level military in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard are contacting him now, that they have made a way of communication now because there is more and more contact going on with him because there is a road we see being paved of the Shah, of Reza, of the exiled prince coming back after 47 years to Iran. So we have to watch this closely when it comes to this. Now, no government is lily white in this world. None of them. All governments do highly wicked things. I don't care if it's the United States. I don't care if it's Israel. I don't care if it's Iran. I don't care if it's France. I don't care if it's Canada. All governments, because their basis is not the fear of the Lord, do wicked things. And the way that changes is you have leadership arise that actually fears God and begins to turn the tide in that. There is a lot of flesh and there is a lot of pride right now in this battle. And no, you don't want any sociopath or madman to have nuclear weapons or to continue to persecute Christians and butcher them and shed their blood. It's going on in the Congo too. In Syria, a suicide bomber, an ISIS suicide bomber, just blew up a Christian church to smithereens and killed a lot of people. Where is the outrage? Where is the outrage from all of those who did the No Kings protest? Where is the outrage when these innocent people are butchered in the Congo and in Syria? Believers who are doing nothing but serving Almighty God in their church and in their villages. And you have those under the influence possessed by the kingdom of darkness coming in and butchering them. Where is the outrage from the left and from the conservatives? Where is the outrage from the conservatives? No, they're too busy blaming Israel for everything to realize that there are other areas of the world right now where Christians are being butchered for their faith. And these puffed up morons get mad if someone leaves them an unflattering comment. Give me a break, honestly, because an unflattering comment is nothing. Someone saying something about you on X is nothing compared to what these people are going through right now in the Congo and in Syria and in Iran and in China. Let me tell you, they are warriors for Christ because they're willing to lay down their lives if that's what it takes. And all of them are too busy fighting over there in X land, launching slurs at each other to see who's going to be puffed up king of the hill while innocent blood is being shed in the soil of these areas by wicked individuals who are serving a false God, who think they should kill in the name of God and butcher God's people. I mean, we got to get our perspective right here and we got to get our priorities straight with this. Because it's wrong. It's wrong. If you can't handle someone making an unflattering comment about you, literally get off of social media. Because that is nothing compared to what some people go through for their faith. What they do to those people in Iranian prisons is straight up satanic. It has nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with the ruthlessness of the devil. And because they have chose to drink from the cup of the devil and call it God, they have grieved the Holy Spirit. They have grieved Almighty God. He has allowed the charges to mount before his throne. And now is the appointed time where God is bringing that down. God only allows it for so long. You drink from the cup of the blood of the innocent of the saints of God, of those whose blood is crying out from the ground as Abel's blood cried out saying they murdered us. God only allows that for a time. And then that cup of iniquity before his throne and those cries in that cup from those innocent people, it becomes full. And then it has to be poured out. And I'm watching the conservatives do exactly what the Democrats want them to do, because you have Democrats that infiltrated and called themselves conservative and waited for the go signal in order to sow discord among the brethren. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breeds out lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Congratulations, you've hit the jackpot for ticking off God, because you have clicked every single one of those boxes. We have to understand that if God put President Trump in that position, then President Trump, before his conscience, has to do what God is leading him to do. Not what conservative commentators are screaming he needs to do. Not because I helped with my platform get him elected. Boo-hoo, who are you? Because we're no one before the eyes of God. God raises up kings and he brings them low. He can raise up platforms and he can bring them down. And if President Trump, before God in his conscience, chooses to do certain things, he don't have to explain himself to every one of you pundits. And neither does God. When God chooses to judge a nation or judge a leader, he doesn't have to go and take a poll on X. He don't have to go and check with the Democrats. He don't have to check with the Republicans. He don't have to check with the Libertarians. He don't have to check with NATO. He don't have to check with the World Economic Forum. He don't have to check with globalists. He don't have to check with Buddhists. He don't have to check with Muslims. He don't have to check with Christians. When he chooses to do it, his rulings are righteous and they're holy and they're perfect. And when God chooses an appointed time to do it, he does it in holiness and in all righteousness in a way man cannot. When man gets involved in wars, it is flesh. There is flesh, there is sin, there is fallibleness, there is bitterness, there is rage, there is anger. When God judges from his throne, it is righteousness. It is void of anything self-serving when he judges from his throne. And when these things happen, it showed me how quickly the conservative base can be rattled and could start to attack President Trump's decisions. And the Democrats are probably over there laughing. They're over there laughing because they don't have to do a thing. They could just sit back and let everyone else attack each other. And that's exactly how the devil operates. He gets everybody to start attacking each other. And then he just sits back because his work is done. And now he just gets to watch all the discord. What I'm saying is there has to be a spiritual maturity that happens on the conservative side real fast if we claim to fear God the way we do. Because the way some people talk and their pompousness, they don't have an ounce of fear of the Lord in them. They don't have an ounce because they think their platform is untouchable. And in this season, you are going to see some of the biggest conservative platforms fall and fracture, that it's going to leave gasps across the nation. Because pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a big fall. You see, the devil understands scripture. That's why he used it against Jesus Christ himself, the word, in the wilderness. So the devil understands that verse, and he knows if he can get man to step over the threshold into pride, that is just one step before destruction. So when he gets you into that, you are on the cliff of destruction. He understands the inner workings of that. This is why he got Israel to raise a golden calf at Mount Sinai in the month of June that was dubbed Pride Month, because he got them in their pride to raise their own God, which came right before destruction. Pride cometh before destruction. It is actually the announcement that destruction is coming. It is actually the announcement that that person has gotten so puffed up, they can't even see straight anymore. Can't even see straight. When you can't see where you're going to fall. And this is what I see happening now on the conservative side as well. Not only the Democrats now, but on the conservative side. The waters are getting so muddied that how are you supposed to see through the thick of all of this? This is why we need Almighty God. This is why we need the Holy Spirit counseling us. This is why we need to be in the Word of God every day and listening for the Lord in this and listening for what God is doing in this. Because the mudslinging that has gone on is disgusting. It is disgusting. It is immature. It is short-sighted. And it is pompous. And watching this go on in the midst of this, my goodness, if we have a greater crisis than this, forget it. We're going to need to find every bit of gorilla glue in the nation to keep these crackpots together that all want to fight every time something happens. We're going to have to go buy up all the gorilla glue and just glue everyone's mouth shut so God can be the loudest voice in the room. Because a single operation that President Trump just did is nothing compared if we get attacked on our own soil or if something else happens in that nature. What's going to happen then? Because now you know they've shown you their character, what they're going to do. They're all going to erupt and fight each other, and there's going to be no cohesion within the conservative base, within the church, or with anything else. Because if you notice right now, everyone's fighting each other. And the devil's gotten in there. And Potiphar's wife now has gotten in there, because everybody wants to make it the Wild West. And now voices that have been able to mimic conservatives to sound like them have gotten in there, but they're really not conservatives at all. Nor do they fear God. Because the root, you see, when God truly transforms a life, when the root changes, it changes from the root up. So if the root is transformed, the plant is going to grow differently. What happens with people is the root is never transformed. And the plant may grow and it may look healthy, but the root is still mangled. The root was never dealt with. The root of the issue in their life was never dealt with. It was never fully gone after. It was never fully rectified. So then what happens is you still have a corrupted root that's now growing what looks like a healthy plant, but the root is diseased, but the root is beneath the surface. It's in the darkness, so you can't see it, but that's what's feeding the plant. And pretty soon, the plant will start to show signs of disease because the root that's taking in the resources is corrupted and diseased, and now it's feeding that to the plant. And a healthy-looking plant suddenly will uproot and die, or a tree will uproot and die because the root was weak, even though the tree was producing leaves and greenery and growing. The root was weak. This is exposing in many ways how weak the root is in so many ways in our movement. And the Lord had talked about them mixing in sand with the soil, and it has weakened the root. I'm going to find this before we end. I'm going to go look right now. Hold on a second. We're going to find this right now, this word, because it's on arcofgrace.org, current blog, if you want to go search for it yourself. But they've mixed sand with the soil and it has weakened the root. Why do I think that's from before the inauguration? Hold on. Because I gave a word before the inauguration and I know it didn't sound promising, but the Lord had me give it before the inauguration, and that's why It has weakened the root. Let me see. We're going to find this because I think it's worth reading. I think it is worth reading. Urgent. Okay, maybe this is it. Hold on. We're going to find it live, people. Anchors, the roots were. Okay. Yes. Okay. January 16th, 2025, before the inauguration, before any of this just broke out that happened. And says the Spirit of the Lord this day, I, the Lord, am purging the movement of the conservatives, says the Lord. I am purging it, for too much sand has mixed in with the soil and now weakened the root. It does not matter if Congress is dominated by red, if the root is weak, for the root is what anchors. The root is what receives resources to help the tree grow. And now sand has been mixed in with the soil because certain heads of the Republican Party and committee have decided to build the house partially on sand, says the Lord, out of fear of offending agendas where they sought their vote. So there was a compromise, capital, says the Lord, which will affect the vision. Right now, the vision is clouded, says the Lord. It is clouded. This is back in January. And I, the Lord, capital, will clear it up. I will, says the Lord, for this nation cannot turn into South Korea, says the Lord. A willful invasion indeed of North Korea, infiltrating politics and positions of deception to be a party they are not. Cloaked in such that tipped the scales and has now caused a historical political crisis amongst the chaos as North Korea mobilizes to invade South Korea to attack it from the air. Now, Kim Jong just fired 12 missiles in the direction of South Korea. So this is the beginning of this prophecy fulfilling back from January. But the Lord said he's purging the movement of the conservatives, for too much sand has mixed in with the soil and now weakened the root. That is why we see this happening. This is why. And the Lord's purging it, and he's allowing the dross to come up. He's allowing what's in the abundance of their heart to speak it out of their mouth in the middle of situations like this, to expose the inner workings of their soul, what they're thinking, and of their heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I may not agree with everything the United States does or everything Israel does, because I don't. But I do understand there are two active covenants, and I have to be careful how I speak about it. I can speak and say I don't agree, but you have to be careful when there are active covenants. What you do, because we don't know everything. I'm not looking at all the intelligence President Trump is looking at before him in the Situation Room. Most of these conservative pundits do not have access to the intelligence that President Trump has access to. You know, the highest clearance of intelligence that is for the president's eyes only? Yeah, that one. We don't see that. So when President Trump is making a decision, he is making it after looking at the litany of intelligence that he has coming in and weighing it against not doing anything. And that is very, very difficult to do. We think it's easy. It's not. The amount of pressure in that Situation Room is immense. You're putting men and women's lives on the line in the military every time you deploy them. President Trump knows that human life is precious. The man knows. The weight of that decision is so immense. And let me tell you something. The weight of having a podcast is nothing compared to when you know you have to give the signal, you have to sign off on sending men and women into harm's way to try to protect from greater tragedy happening. The weight of a podcast and commentating on it is nothing compared to that. And I think we have to get that straight in our heads, because watching all of this unfold, the Lord is purging the movement of the conservatives. He's dealing with it, and he's going to deal with the filth coming out of their mouths also. The filth that when they're supposed to be an example of maturity under pressure, some of them are nothing more than a gossip rag in the middle of this. And this is why that movement is being purged, because too much sand has mixed in with the soil. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rain came and the storm came. And the house that was built upon the sand was swept away. Well, here's the storm. The storm is upon us. Here it is. When you're anchored on Christ, on the solid rock, when you speak the truth of God above what anyone else wants you to speak, you're anchored. You're on that rock. You're weathering the storm. You've got a covering. Right now, coverings are going to be ripped off of some very influential people. Very influential on the conservative side. Coverings are about to be completely ripped off because God is going to call it into order. Because God isn't only dealing with Iran right now and the other nations of the earth and what is happening, but leaders are held to a higher standard. Leaders of nations are held to a higher standard by God. Leaders of the church are held to a higher standard by God. Those that have voices of influence are held to a higher standard by God. And when you're constantly resorting to name calling instead of critical thinking, instead of pompousness, you know, some humility, we're watching the plumb line being dropped. We're watching it. We're watching it all in a month filled with pride. In the month of June, this has all erupted, not only with Israel and Iran. This has erupted on the conservative side. We're watching what's happening in the church. We're watching what's happening within the other nations of the earth right now. Europe is about to fracture. It's coming. And I believe around the time of July 5th is another target date we have to watch for in the midst of this. So just keep that in mind, that that was said as well. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But I just wanted to, I just felt led to say some of these things because we are meant to be salt and light, and we are meant to bring the conviction of God into a room filled with chaos. We are meant to bring the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. You see, you have true wisdom when you have the fear of the Lord. And when there's pompousness, the fear of the Lord does not exist, because literally we are dust without his breath of life in us. We're dust. We don't have life. We don't have life without the Creator breathing into us. That's why Yahweh is the breath. And when you breathe in and out, every time you're saying his name, you're saying it. No matter if you believe or not, you're saying it, because it's the breath. The breath is powerful. The breath is the pneumos. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the tongue might want to be one of the smallest, you want to call it, organs in our body, but it has one of the largest impacts in this world. So just remember that as we go forth. We're going to keep you posted on all this. We're going to be watching this as well, this unfolding. But this is a very, very fragile ceasefire at this moment. And this could hold, or there could be revolution in Iran again. And the ceasefire could break. So just continue to pray. Pray for the wisdom for President Trump right now. Pray for the wisdom of his cabinet. Pray for the wisdom of those high up in his military. You know, nobody wants perpetual war. Nobody wants constant. I certainly don't. However, I do know this as a believer, that when I became a child of the Most High God, I automatically became at war with the kingdom of darkness. And that's a war that goes our entire life. So you want to talk about war? The enemy does not take a sick day. He does not take a vacation. The kingdom of darkness, the only way they retreat is when you resist them in the name of Jesus Christ. And according to the rules of engagement of spiritual warfare, you drive them back. That is a perpetual war. Being a believer and truly serving God is a perpetual war. So when I hear this term like warmongers and all of these things, if you're a true believer, you are in a perpetual war against the kingdom of darkness, because we're supposed to be soldiers in the army of the living God. And there are times the devil retreats and you get a reprieve. And then there are times he circles back like a lion and he tries to go in to take prey. He tries to go in to take prey. And many of us are battle fatigued right now. This is where you have to let the word renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is renewed in the word. Your mind is renewed by not constantly watching the news. I stay away from the news as much as possible, except for the few articles I have to show you. Because our mind has to be renewed in the Lord. We have to allow him to fill us right now. We have to allow that strength to fill us from Almighty God so we can run this leg of the race with excellence as the church, because they're, let me tell you, this country is going to need the church and the voice of the church more than ever over these next few plus years. The country needs it. We are required to step up to the plate for Almighty God in this season. So yes, pray without ceasing. Seek the Lord diligently. Mature in him. He wants to bring forth the mature fruit now, the mature fruit that is going to help transform a nation. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. So wanted to announce again, we announced it at the beginning, but very exciting news. We have been invited as Ark of Grace Ministries on pray.com. You have to be invited on that platform. The CEO met with us and invited us on the platform. We give all glory to God. It's the largest Christian app in the world. You can go download it from your app store. We are on Pray TV as well, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 11 a.m. So we play on those slots on Pray TV when you open your app as well. So we give God all the glory. We're very excited about this. We had this morning was our premiere. And we had an incredible amount of people watching on the premiere without even announcing it. So we praise God for that, for his favor in this, for opening up a door that we weren't even searching for, honestly. And God opened that door for us. Our team has worked very hard on this as well, meeting with pray.com and getting everything set up and onboarded. So we are on pray.com now. We are on Tuesdays at 9 a.m. and Thursdays at 11 a.m. And we also have an Ark of Grace Ministry site on pray.com that you can go to as well. All of the broadcasts and the shorts will be up there as well. So I just wanted to announce that. Very exciting. And we'll put up, secondly, just so everybody knows, I am not texting people telling them to reach out to me for prophetic words. If you're getting DMs or text messages from someone claiming to be me saying to reach out, you know, to me for a prophetic word, it's a scam. Please do not give them any information. These people are corrupt, they're wicked, and they're pathetic that do this. So if it looks strange, if it looks suspicious, if it talks about QFS, if it says I'll give you a personal word, it's not me. So please report that account. Thank you very much for that, because we're getting a lot of that from people that are getting these now. And we just wanted to talk about that. Also, we'll put up Gividerm real quick. I love the Gividerm ladies. They are not only firm believers in the Lord, but they make an amazing product. I use it and Chris uses it. This is a wonderful plant-based, all-natural skincare line that is just food for your face. It is one of the best I have ever used. You can go to arkofgrace.org/ministry-partners. You promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount. Some of my favorites are the Uplift. Chris loves the eye cream. He uses that. I also happen to love their Nourish as well. So you can go to arkofgrace.org/ministry-partners and use ARK10. So that's all we have for tonight. We will be back on tomorrow night. Mark your calendars. Now I have to come back on tomorrow night. I had to do this 2 days in a row. Chris has some serious surgery on Thursday. He's got some serious dental surgery, and I have to be available all Thursday into Thursday evening to help him. So we're coming on Tuesday and Wednesday live this week. So we'll see you back tomorrow night. God bless everyone. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, Psalms 123, 34, 35, and 51, created me a clean heart, O God. Boy, do we need that right now. Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I say those scriptures every day, sometimes multiple times a day. They're also in the Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin, as well as the Lord's Prayer. which is Matthew 6. That was straight spiritual intelligence from the throne room of God. Jesus teaching the disciples to pray that way. Incorporate it into your prayer life, as well as Hebrews 11, one of the greatest chapters on faith and the faithful men and women that did the most extraordinary things for the Lord in the word of God. So we want to encourage you in the word as we leave. We thank you for joining us tonight. We will see you tomorrow night live about the same time, 5:30-ish, but we will announce. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha. For women, Rapha means healer in Hebrew, so it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us, and so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural, and I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arkofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless.